believe our meeting is time to start. Let me greet everyone and welcome honorable members and the department led by the Deputy Minister. Before we continue with our meeting, I would request that we observe moment of short prayers and meditation. Can we? Honourable Deputy Minister, you are welcome, and the team. We missed you. Mostly they missed the minister a lot. Convey our message that we really miss the minister in this committee. Her presence will do a lot. I do have an apology from the Honourable Minister that she will not be part of the meeting. She is on leave. Also communicated with the Deputy Minister now. She wanted to be part of the meeting, but some of the things we don't have control over. But we do have the Deputy Minister leading the team from the department. Honorable Deputy Minister, most of the time we appreciate the presence of political leadership in the department, because as you know that we are politicians, not undermining the capacity and the knowledge of the DG and the team in the department, but there are political issues that we want to raise with you, which we expect that we interact at our level as politicians. But also, as you know, that we are representing provinces time and again, issues come in our provinces, issues which we want to raise with the minister or the deputy minister. So your presence is really appreciated in our meeting, especially when we deal with issues of planning and issues of reporting. There we really don't compromise. We just say it now. I know you are here, but there will be time where you have to account as a department. If there is no political leadership, we have come to a conclusion as a committee that we will not be in a position to take a department. I'm just saying now, when it happens in the future, you're not surprised what is happening. I want to raise some issues, Honorable Deputy Minister and the team. I know you are presenting your plan and a budget for the financial year 2017-18. But we don't want to deal with, I'm just waiting for her to finish because it's affecting their attention. We don't want to hear issues from the media. We don't deal with the media. There has been a lot of things said about the department's bankruptcy. The department is bankrupt, there is no money. We thought as a committee, as you come briefing us, just speak to that, not in detail. Tell us what is happening. Are you bankrupt or not? Where is this thing coming from? It may be you or the administration speaking to this matter. It will suffice for us, but we want to hear it from you. Where is this thing of bankruptcy coming? There is an issue. We've been to Mpumalanga end of March, beginning of April. We visited one of your projects, the Hoshane project. That project is supporting both Mbombela and Bushbuck Ridge municipalities. But the issue in the also, there is the presence of Randlord. In our interaction with them, we appreciate that the project is up and running now, which is one thing that we appreciate, because it was a project that has been in construction for a long time, but finally it's open operation. And we were told it will be officially opened this month. I don't know whether it's still going to happen. But the main issue that came up in our interaction there who will be responsible for the operation of that project? Is it Bushveld Ridge Municipality? Is it Mbombela? Is it Rainwater? Rainwater raised an issue that it becomes very difficult for them when they operate facilities, government facilities, and they are not part of their own in terms of maintenance. It becomes a problem. We said that matter must be resolved and clarified as you hand over, because there is also a district municipality. What will be the role of the district municipality? If you give it to Rainwater, what will happen if people don't have water, money to pay? We don't want to see a situation whereby people, water is cut. We're not saying people should not pay water, but there are people who really cannot afford to pay. If it's an entity or a company outside government, that sensitivity is not there. We said that matter must come to a conclusion, finalize who will be responsible for operation. Is it, if it is Bushveld Ridge, do they have capacity? If it is Mbombela, do they have capacity? Because it's two municipalities, can it be a Sanzini district? That's one area that you need to clarify it, as you will be officially opening that project. Some of the officials I see here were there when we were there as a committee. The issue of the Western Cape, I know it's raining now. What does it mean? Because they have been drought for quite a while. What are the plans to assist them as a province? And to what extent has it affected them? There are a number of water issues. As you know, that water is an issue in every municipality, but I just want to flag these two members when they do their interaction will come in the issues that I learned from different provinces, because we've been to different provinces. The issue of, I almost forgot an important issue, a Free State. A Free State, there is a district that you want to call it, a district? Gareng. And the municipality, I don't know other municipalities, but the municipality went to, what was our municipality again?
Kopanong.
We were in Kopanong. There's a serious issue there. Minister. The municipality is not paying. I think it affects all municipalities. They are not paying Bloemwater. Bloemwater is not in a position to operate because of that. As a result, Bloemwater has partially suspended services. Water is cut. In such a way, we're visiting health facilities. They did not have water, because Bloemwater confirmed that they have, because they're not being paid. What does that mean? We said it has to be resolved. It has to be resolved. People cannot suffer because the municipality is not paying. At the end, ordinary citizens are affected. Most importantly, health facilities. We've been to hospitals and clinics. They did not have water because the municipalities are owned by Bloemwater. So we're saying is that's one area that is not acceptable. We're still going back to the actual taking of parliament to the people. It was a pre-visit. I can't remember the exact dates. August 21st to the 25th of August. We're going back there. You may not go to that, don't respond on that one. But what we are saying, go and look at that matter. When we go there, there must be answers on the matter. You must have resolved that issue. It can't be. you really can't see that water is cut because the municipality is not paying. Municipality, we also said they must pay for water, but it should not affect the communities there. So those are the issues I wanted to raise, Honourable Deputy Minister. Not into detail, if you have answers to them, speak to them, but not on detail because we're here for the plan, but they're important not to mention them while you are here. I have, from the members, I have one apology from Honourable Mamburu. Mamburu is not going to join the committee. I want to hand over to the department to do the presentation, but touching on the issues that I've just mentioned, Honourable Deputy Minister. We are planning, because we're having a sitting, a long sitting today, we are planning the latest to finish this meeting, the 12th. That is the latest, because members want to prepare themselves. But one last thing I forgot, Honourable Minister, we don't want to call it a relationship. The department is leaving us behind as a committee. Most of your things we see them on TV. Most of the department's things we see them on TV. We are representing different provinces. All provinces are represented here. Sometimes it helps if there's something happening, whether you're opening projects, whether you're planning for something, just to brief us or make us participate as a committee. Because sometimes when these issues come out on the media, we're not in a position to say, we know this one. It's not like as you're saying, but you are leaving us behind as a committee. You are saying, as much as we're doing oversight, we want to know what is happening in the department. We don't want to act on issues on the media. Make us participate in the project so that issues come, we are in a position to respond as a committee. Thank you very much. Can I hand over to you, Honourable Deputy Minister? I don't know how you have planned your presentation, but I will give you 1 hour to do everything.
Oh, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, let me start by greeting you and all the members of Parliament. And it has been a long time. We've been missing you also. I also want to say, yes, the minister is not well. She's on leave. And we, just to inform you, Chair, that we have a new DG. DG started in January. Mr. Margaret resigned, and now we have next to me Mr. Dan Machicho, who started in January. Chair, some of the areas that you've raised are true. We are not supposed to be in front of the running too fast and leave the committees behind. I think now the DG has noted that all activities that we have, even if you're not going to attend, we must tell you. And we'll do that definitely. And we want to apologize. I know that I've been holding to launch the first water and sanitation master plan that we are negotiating with the stakeholders. We should have told you and be part of it. And other activities that we have, it will never happen again, Honourable Members, I promise. I think it's a mistake, it's a big mistake that we always do, and it shouldn't be like that. Some of the issues that are on papers are exaggerated. We will, in our presentation, give you the right version of what is happening in our department. And I do want to say, Chair, we've been presented with a budget of over 15 billion rands for the current financial year, which is less we have experienced this year less budget than the budget we received. Maybe I must say it could be that on a 2014 chair we could not use, was it 2 billion? 200, yes, billion. 200 million. No, I thought it's 2 billion. It's 200 million which we did not use. And that after that there was a cut because we couldn't use the 200 million. The reason why it was the first year, and I'm not saying the reason why we did not use it. We were putting systems in place, and all I want to remember is that we're struggling to do immediately, myself and the minister. Remember, this was water affairs, and sanitation was with human settlement. They took time to transfer, you know, assets from that department to our department. You had to put new systems to function. So I think some of the things affected our budget, and we couldn't use it on the first year. I want to say maybe that's why the Treasury had to cut our budget, because we didn't use for testing. And I want to say, purpose of the 2017 budget vote, we are focusing in our budget, this is enhanced, we are enhancing the sustainability of water resources. That will come in our presentation. And again, Chair, I have three components of the issues that are going to be presented by our management. The pathway A will deal with overview of performance information, and part two will deal with overview of voted 6 million-term budget, and then part three will deal with overview of water trading medium-term budget. Chair, I must say that we have serious challenges in terms of water boards. Water boards are owed money by municipalities, and we are owed money also as a department by municipalities. And we requested, Chair, that in our meeting with the NA committee, to say at some stage, which I also want to propose here, that you invite us with COCTA under one roof, so that you hear from them and us. The constraints that we're faced with, one is, I want to mention the one that I know that it's quite serious. It's OR Tambo is owing us 20 million as we speak, and they've committed to pay 2 million per month. And I know there are other municipalities that are owing us. During drought, Chair, the interventions that we're doing during drought, it was like double dipping, because we were responding to all municipalities that had this serious challenges of drought, especially KZN, because it started in KZN, and Western Cape it has started. But the first one province to be affected was KZN. That's where we were doing most of our interventions. And with other provinces also, we did many interventions concerning drought. That alone, Chair, I learned about it. It was wrong for us to jump before municipalities. It is because of they don't have capacity. In most cases, you find that they don't respond in issues of drought. We jump for help in most of these. As a result, we had so much of irregular expenditure because of double dipping that we did. Buying of the of delivering water from point A to point B to all these municipalities. And our responsibility as this department is bulk water supply only. But now, Chair, we're not only doing that. We're doing the work of the municipalities, because people phone water and sanitation for any problem of challenge of water. So we have those problems that we've learned through this drought check, which we need now to make sure that we don't repeat these problems. But it's difficult to say when people are saying we don't have water and refer them to municipalities. I want to make one example, Chair. December, in the Oak Tambo, we all went there with the management and the staff because we're having calls from Oak Tambo to say we don't have water. But when we went there, there was no one from their side. They were saying they're on holiday. We could not. That's why I say maybe it's high time that we are called under one roof with the municipalities so that they put their story and we tell you how we suffer in terms of assisting the municipalities. I think, Chair, before I go on and on and on, I know there are areas that you've touched, the Bloom Water, the DG is saying he had a meeting with the Bloom Water. But I would like if we could introduce ourselves before we present. And I will start next to me. New DG, will you introduce yourself and then we then give chance to everyone to introduce themselves.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Daniel.
Can I request that we only get those who are new?
Okay.
Because at least the offenses that have been seen throughout the weekend, like the DG, I think it's appropriate.
In this case, Chair, it's going to be the new CFO and the DG. I think you know all of them. Have you been here, CFO? Or you've been here? Don't talk. So it's only going to be the DG. Yeah, I think you know. Oh, we have a new chief of staff. You will introduce yourself. Yeah, after DG. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, my name is Elma Shisho, DG, Department of Water and Sanitation.
How we planned our presentation.
Honorable members, Deputy Minister, my name is Siyabonga Nene, the new Chief of Staff.
You know my staff, it's the old staff, Chair. So yeah. I want to make a request, Chair, so that we don't waste your time and talk about what you read. They will come in the presentation. And then if you see that there are gaps, you then ask questions. We are ready for the questions. And the person who's going to do our presentation is Ms. Manyakanyaka. She is ready, Chair. I would request her to start presenting. Okay. Thanks a lot, Chair.
Thank you, GM. Thank you, DM. Good morning, honorable members. I will be doing the performance information presentation of the document that is written in the overview of the 2017-2018-2019 annual performance plan. Considering that
DG as the head of the department, nguye ozawuqala avula umlomo. Just to nika i-picture yena ye-department, then ke ngoku anike the person who's going to present the APP and so on. But kengokuna iqale uqale zansi umsila uqala inhloko yakhe bobidera sla.
Did you understand cause? Umsila uhamba phambili inhloko isemunye. I remember the last meet, I had thought this is how they have
My chairperson, mine is just, I understand what Honorable Samkansi is saying, but I think the Deputy Minister assists us to tell us the PC is in the woodland department, if I understand him very well. So, I think there's no harm to your situation. I don't know all of them, because even myself, is the first time that I see this department. It's
those meetings there. Honorable Sambo and Honorable Hutton, I need your attention. I see the mic is on there. Is it a sign of a hand? No. Okay, Honorable Zan. Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Deputy Minister and the delegation of the members. I think if you speak in terms of protocol, the Minister has given us just a briefing, a background on this, on some of the issues that were raised, particularly by the Chairperson. But the person who leads the delegation administrative would have been the DG. And then we are speaking protocol, Chairperson. And then the Honorable Deputy Minister will hand it over to the DG. And the DG will say, in terms of our arrangements, the presidency is distributed amongst us, so and so is going to start. I'm going to be involved in the responses or in the clarification of some of the issues. But from the administrative point of view, Chairperson, I want to say there is nothing wrong if the DG is delegating to an official, but he should have done it so himself, not for it to be done by the political head. I hope the DG is getting what I'm saying. He must be able to delegate himself from an administrative point of view after the Deputy Minister has given us the political background of the department.
Honorable Kaula, don't shout it. Honorable Mshoti, please. I'm fighting for you. Just allow me to fight for you, to protect you. Don't shout to another member, please. Honorable DJ, it doesn't sound difficult. I know the minister has just indicated that you are new, but I think we can do that just to avoid further delays. Can we do that?
Thank you, Chairperson. And for the clarification of the protocol, which I think is in the order. Our presentation, I must say that it might be a little bit long, but it depends on, we might be guided by the members. You have the presentation in front of you. And if you want to zero into certain things, and that we just to an overview of some, I think you are in your hands. For example, the presentation is categorized in terms of three parts, which is part A, which is the overview of the performance information. And there really, it's more on where do we get the legislative framework in which we are operating. And hence, you will see we're talking the constitution, another legislation, the international agreements, like the Millennium Development Goals, the framework for climate change, and so on. So this is just basically the context under which we are doing our It's not just the it's controlled or it operates under those parameters, international, national, but we also realize that there's also the interdepartmental program, which means in our business, we do it with other departments, and hence there you see that the departments like rural development and then COFTA, human settlement, Department of Environment, those are just some of the departments that we operate with. Now, there's also the mention of the NDP and the medium term strategic framework. That is, again, the parameters within which we operate. We have indicated there under the NDP that we specifically deal with Chapter 3 of the economy that creates jobs, Chapter 4, improving infrastructure, 5, transition to low carbon, which is the environment issues, Chapter 4, and so on. So that is just basically the context under which our performance plan should be reviewed. And then the chairperson, we then went on to indicate what the mission of the department is, so that whatever the performance that we are presenting, it operates under this mission. I mean, sometimes you might say, but if your vision and mission is this, your plan doesn't talk to this, and so on. So hence, there's that context. We'll put our values there and the goals and the objectives. Now, the next slide, there I think we're showing our budget structure. Now, we are indicating four programs there. The first one is administration. The second one is water planning information management. The third one is water infrastructure development, and the fourth one, water sector regulation. So those are the programs, and we go on page 7 to outline what is the description of each program from 1 to 4, including the water trading entity. Now, I think, Chairperson, that is basically the context under which we will be presenting our PPA, the APP, the annual performance plan. Now, having said that, I think for more details, I would then allow Ms. Babalwa Manyakanyaka to just take us through the details. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. I think you should not go through with verbatim. She will speak to the presentation.
Thank you, DMDG, Chairperson, and honorable members. To save time, I will simply focus on the areas of the department's performance that have got provincial footprint, so that I don't have to go through the document line by line. So you see that our first program, Program 1 on Administration, it is just the administration of the department, our human resources, which is slide 8 in the document that you have. We're looking at various focus areas, our support to SME, small, medium, micro enterprises, our compliance issues, our financial management issues. So that is not something that I'm going to focus on. And we also have got our international support activities there that are highlighted in slide 8. So I won't really go into it. The first program that has got a specific provincial footprint is Program 2, where our planning happens. And as the DG has indicated, the description has been provided in slide 7, but the specific areas that have got a potential activity in that program are actually our monitoring, our planning tools. The first one is, if you look at slide 10, you see that we have got a strategic objective that talks to integrity of freshwater ecosystems protected, which is strategic objective 1.3. And the specific activity there that has got a provincial footprint is our river ecostatus monitoring. And our activity there, we look at the ecological health of the rivers countrywide, and we look at those per water management area. And if you look at slide 11, you'll see that we have got a map that actually shows the number of rivers per water management area that we actually monitor. We look at various technical issues, the existence of invertebrates, fish habitats in the water, vegetation, to assess if the river actually needs monitoring or it needs intervention. So what we've done in the map, which is in slide 11, we have actually showed per water management area the number of rivers that we actually monitor. And if honorable members have got access to the APP, we have actually listed in the APP from pages 178 to 179 the names of the rivers per water management area that we plan to monitor during the financial year in question. The second area that has got a provincial footprint in that particular program is on strategic objective 2.1 that actually looks at planning, infrastructure planning, monitoring and evaluation, water and sanitation infrastructure planning. To look at slide 12, there we've actually highlighted three focus areas. We do water and sanitation services and master plan. We look at district municipalities and we assist them in the development of water and sanitation master plan. And that that looks at how reliable the infrastructure is, what infrastructure needs to be developed over the period of 5 years.
Can I
yes, ma'am.
You know, these venues are not user friendly. Members don't see, they just hear a voice. I just want to request DG, if possible, if she can come without taking anybody's position. If she can move closer to the DM so that members can see her. Now, next to the DM.
This is not compatible with this because I'm just checking now, why don't we have it on the side? I'm told your laptop is not compatible with this.
It uses a USB instead of this one, so this doesn't fit in there.
So we didn't know that you're going to present. We prepared presentation, but it's not good. You know why I'm raising this? I really hate when I stand out in the meeting that something is not working, yet we have officials. It's supposed to come earlier than anyone else, especially if the person is presenting, and see if everything is working. Can we proceed? Can we proceed?
Was at slide 12 in the document. I was explaining that the areas that we look at in that program relate to us supporting district municipalities with the development of district water and sanitation at Masterplan for a period of 5 years. And that is actually a framework that we used as a department to assess or to suggest the development of reliable water and sanitation infrastructure countrywide. That's the first one. And as you see in the map that we have in slide one, that is an explanation of that master plan activity or focus area that is listed for problems in the tables that are there. For example, in the book, we plan to support three district municipalities with the development of water and sanitation master plans. The second activity that we do is we do audits. We actually are doing a water service and sanitation audits on the reliability of the infrastructure that was provided, water and sanitation infrastructure. So we look at if the delivery of water and sanitation is in compliance with the delivery plan that the municipalities had in question. So, for example, to use the same province, we plan to do 3-5 audits in Limpopo. And the last one, when all the municipal infrastructure has been developed, we do what we call socio-economic evaluations. We look at the impact of the infrastructure countrywide to see if the municipalities that are providing the water and sanitation are actually achieving the desired results. Province, that is one activity that we plan to do. And in Limpopo, we want to assess water service authorities, 10 water service authorities, to assess if the socio-economic impact of the infrastructure that was put in place is actually delivering the desired results. If we go to the subsequent slides, you see that in slide 13, it's just as a national activities when we do that. But the next activity that we do within the planning program, that we do have a provincial footprint is indicated on slide 14. The map there has got two focus areas. We do feasibility studies, still relating to water and sanitation infrastructure. It's water services infrastructure. Our plan, when we look at the feasibility of developing projects, water and sanitation projects, over a period. So it is a pipeline that we, activity that we do. So to identify which projects can be done over a period and if they're actually feasible. And there it looks at projects that are funded through our regional bulk infrastructure program. So it is your pipelines, it is your water treatment works, it is your wastewater treatment works. We look at the feasibility of that. And then after the feasibility are done, we do what we call implementation readiness, and that readiness talks to that implementation readiness studies. And those are also funded through the regional bulk infrastructure. And this is the final phase where the actual design of the infrastructure, when the project has been found to be feasible, we do an implementation readiness, we get the authorization, and we look at the funding models for that infrastructure. So in the case of, for example, let me use a different province now in this case, Mpumalanga, we plan to look at the feasibility of doing 4 projects, and we also plan to look at the implementation readiness of 4 projects. That is done within the planning phase. Then we look at program 3. Our program 3 is our infrastructure development. It is where the construction actually happens. That is where 80% of the department's budget is actually based. You will see in slide 15, we've got various focus areas. If you look at strategic objectives, 2.3, we develop production of what we call mega, large, small wastewater and water infrastructure projects. We look at also dam safety rehabilitation projects, monitoring, and also the last part, a provision of sanitation. Provision of sanitation activities in the department. If you look at slide 16, in the presentation, we have got four activities there. Just to understand the map there, under the category CAT stands for category and construction and completion. If you look at the first WR, water resources, it relates to our development of our water resources infrastructure. That's mostly our dams, big dams that are going to be developed or will be under construction during the in question. If you look at Limpopo, we plan to have two projects under construction. That would be Zanin and your Olifants River Phase 2D. That is also listed in the APP. And then you look at, we've got three other activities. The RBIC, the Regional Bulk Infrastructure, which is the development of the infrastructure that connects the municipalities with what we call the resource to the dam. So those activities, we develop new infrastructure, wastewater and water infrastructure to connect various municipalities to the resource, which is the dam, and also their treatment works so that they can have a reticulation. And if you look at the various APP activities, we've got an APP, we've listed all the projects that we plan to have under construction and under completion, and that is listed in pages 183 to 187 of the APP. Just to give you more substance on that one, we have categorized or packaged the APP into three big categories of the water services infrastructure. We've got mega projects, those projects that are from R1 billion and above. We've got large projects, those that are between 250 million to R1 billion. And we've got small projects that are in below 250 million. And we've listed those projects in the APP in that category so that you can see. Some of the projects that the Honorable Members was talking about for Shane is also listed as part of our regional bulk infrastructure project. So if I were to make an example for that one, for Mpumalanga, for the regional bulk infrastructure, we plan to have 11 projects phases under construction, and we plan to complete 11 project phases during the financial year. If you look at the third activity that we have then, accelerated community infrastructure program in the water services infrastructure grant. Those are the department's activities that actually support the municipalities with the upgrade, refurbishment of the existing infrastructure, water services infrastructure. So our accelerated community infrastructure projects look at water conservation and demand activities, projects that come from municipalities, and those projects for accelerated community infrastructure are listed on pages 188 and 197 of the APP. We also look at wastewater and water projects, and we also look at water supply projects under the accelerated community infrastructure program. And then the water services infrastructure grant is also a grant that we should assist with the acceleration of backlogs in various municipalities, particularly the 27 priority district municipalities. And in the APP, we've listed the water service authorities that we support under pages 198 to 202 of the APP, all the water services infrastructure grant district municipalities that we support are listed there. If then we go to slide 17. Slide 17 talks to our sanitation activities. We've got two focus areas there. There is a bucket eradication program activities where the department plans to replace existing bucket sanitation in former settlements. Currently, you see in the map there are three project provinces that we're targeting there. For some provinces, like your northwest, we've eradicated the bucket sanitation that was there. But for provinces like your Limpopo, there were never really buckets in your Western Cape, never really buckets in former settlements that we had activities, and hence we don't have projects there. So for the period in question, we are going to focus on the three provinces, which is Northern Cape, Free State, and Eastern Cape. And the numbers of the buckets that we plan to eradicate for the 2017-18 financial year are listed in the table then. And we've also listed the district municipalities that are affected by those three provinces in the APP. And you can refer to page 203. Those are the three district municipalities that fall within those, the three provinces. We also have a program, Rural Household Infrastructure, a grant program that looks at the provision of sanitation in rural areas. Now that is across all provinces. Except for the Western Cape, because there's no rural. There are rural areas, but not in the Yes. So our target falls within the eight provinces in the country. And the targeted provinces are also listed there in the APP. You can refer to pages 204, where we have listed the district municipalities that we are targeting to support for the Rural Household Infrastructure Grant Program. If you go to the subsequent slide 18, we do have rural support program that support Outcome 7, our rural development counterpart, and also agriculture department. Our contribution to those departments is that we support resource poor farmers and we install running water harvesting tanks in targeted areas. For the resource poor farmers, we receive applications via the respective municipalities through our provincial offices, and in collaboration with the departments of agriculture, the department then funds resource poor farmers, provides financial subsidies. They can use their financial subsidies for operations and maintenance activities, or they can do irrigation works or pay for their irrigation activities so that they can improve their access to water. For the rainwater they can do that. The application also comes to the department via the respective municipalities, to our provincial offices, and we then support and install rainwater harvesting tanks for the selected households. I need to probably explain that in the APP, there's no specific areas that we've disclosed. It's the only one that we have not indicated in the APP, because at the time that we had finalized, that whole process of the applications had not been finalized between the various departments, the Department of Agriculture and also the Rural Development. But as soon as that process is finalized, then we can indicate where our support goes. Then for the fourth program, which is our regulation, the last program, that's where we look at our compliance monitoring activities, enforcement activities. We assess or review if users are complying with our water use authorization approvals. And we've got a number of activities that we have. If you look at slide 22 in the presentation, we have listed four activities there. The first one, we look at the green drop assessments. Green drop, it looks at the waste water treatment works, their compliance with the effluent quality, that is put by the department's South African national standards. And we look at the compliance of those waste water treatment works there. We've listed, actually identified the numbers of wastewater treatment works that we're going to assess for the year in question. The second activity talks to the green drop non-compliant wastewater treatment works. From the previous green drop report that was published by the department, we identified the wastewater treatment works that were falling below the 50% compliance level of the effluent quality standard. So we have identified those wastewater treatment works in the APP. If you look at page 205 onwards, that's where your green drop and blue drop activities are identified. The third one relates to the blue drop assessment, when we look at water treatment works, if they're also complying with their water quality standards. And we have also identified the water treatment works. Oh, sorry, members, I had referred to the South African national standards for the green drop. It is actually for the blue drop. The South African national standard, it is for the blue drop assessments. For those that did not meet the blue drop standard and were falling below the 50% threshold of the standard, we also assess them and monitor them for the period in question, and we've actually listed them per province on those systems that we're going to assess for the year in question. And all these are listed in the APP. They're quite a number of systems that we assess, over 1,000 for the green drop and over 900 for the blue drop. So it is long, long, long list. If you look at slide 23, that is where our compliance monitoring activities are indicated per province. The department operations of the department. So for the dam safety evaluations that we're going to conduct for the year in question, we've also distributed them according to the province. And these evaluations are also listed from page 299 and 317 of the APP. Then we look at various categories as listed in the National Water Act of the water users. The National Water Act, there are listed various water uses. And the various categories, we have put them in the subsequent slides. This is the first part that we actually look at. We look at agro-processing water users, if they are complying with their water use license conditions that we've provided. And also we look at water monitoring institutions. And we look at their compliance with their also water use entitlement uses, and if they are also in compliance with those activities that is in slide 23. If you look at slide 24, we look at other water users as well, based on the National Water Act. We have actually categorized them. Dam safety, there are other dams that are not category 2 or category 3 dams, which are category 1, the small dams that are located in various areas in the province. We also look at those. We also look at forestry users and assess if they are complying with the water use authorization use. And we also look at irrigation users. That the numbers are also listed per province. And that is for slide 24. Slide 25 is also a continuation of the compliance monitoring activities in the department and province. You look at the mining activities, and we look at public institutions that have got water uses, and we also look at water treatment wells per province, and we've listed the numbers per province in all provinces. That is all in a nutshell, Chairperson.
For take us through the financial situation, including answering the Honorable Chairperson's question as to whether we are bankrupt or not.
Can we also, I'm just hoping that we'll also speak to AG Alcom and the issues that came on the management letters, matters of effort of EVA.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, DM, and the colleagues. I shall take through the numbers in terms of the allocations of our budget. In the department, we administer a number of grants that we allocate per province in different municipalities. I'll take you through on slide 28. The first one being the regional park infrastructure grant, direct grant of 6B. The allocation for 2017-18 financial year is 1.8 billion. And that, I'll read in conjunction with slide 29, that gives the breakdown per the province of the 1.8 billion. The second grant is regional park infrastructure grant, which is indirect, and that is 2.7 billion. and the breakdown of that per province is on slide 30. The members will see the different allocations per each province. Then the regional bulk infrastructure grant that is done through our water board. And in slide 31, we give the four water boards that implements our bulk infrastructure. Then we have the biggest grant, one of our biggest grants, which is Water Services Infrastructure Grant, direct grant, which is 3.3 billion. Also, the breakdown of that is in slide 32 in terms of how much is the allocation per each province. Then the Water Service Infrastructure Grant, the indirect one, is 442 million. We also see the breakdown of slide 33 in terms of how much of that is allocated per each province. Then we have accelerated community infrastructure grant or program, which is 241 million. Also, we have given a breakdown in terms of which provinces would be doing that. Then there's bucket eradication program. As my colleague mentioned, that we are having three provinces where we've implemented the bucket eradication program. Then the last one is the capital projects, which is our bulk infrastructure program that is done through the water trading entity. The total is 1.4 billion. If I talk to the questions that have been raised in terms of that the department is bankrupt, the answer is no, the department is not bankrupt. I think at the time when the article came on the newspaper, we were reporting at the 28th of February 2017. At that time, we still had about 2 billion left in our bank account. And we responded to the article that came out to say, in our bank account, we still had that money, we still had to request the other allocation that was still coming from Treasury. So we were not bankrupt, and we paid the service providers at the time. Then we closed the financial year. In terms of the audit outcomes, in the last financial year, the department received an unqualified audit opinion. In terms of the 2016-17, the AG is still doing the audit. We have submitted our financials at the end of May. We're expecting the audit outcome by beginning of July, as per their audit plan. I must put forward, members, that in the last financial year, when we received an unqualified audit, prior to that, the department, I think for the past 7 or 9 years, had were receiving unqualified audit opinions, mainly on issues around commitments, and we're receiving qualified audit opinions. So in the last financial year was a change from the negative reporting to receive the unqualified audit opinion. Mainly the issues that were in the main were the issues of the commitments, the issues of the accruals. Then when I came in the net financial year 2015-16, that the main area of focus was focusing on those areas. We corrected that, hence we received their unqualified audit opinion. In this financial year, the audit is still on track. All the issues that have been raised by the AG, we are attending to those issues. I think the other issue that came out, Chairperson, was the issue of the accruals in the department. The issue of the accruals, in the department chair, we administer various multi-year projects under the regional bulk infrastructure grants. And we, due to the availability of resources or finances, we allocate budgets as money become available in each financial year. But certain service providers, as they are building our projects, they accelerate the work, and we found at year end some of the work that we earmarked for the following financial year is already being done in the other year. And the service providers they don't necessarily bill us for that, but in terms of reporting, we have to send our engineers to go and quantify the work that is being done and report that in our financial statements. Hence, we reported the accruals of 1.5 billion at the end of the financial year, but it is a continuation of the multi-year project. So the money is available to pay for those projects. Subsequent to year end, we have paid those accruals in line with the projects that they were accrued to. Then we also have the water trading entity within the department. That's slide 37, where we show the sources of revenue for the water trading entity. The total budget for the water trading entity is 9.7 billion. And we have given the breakdown of the sources of revenue. There's part which is augmentation that comes from National Treasury through the main account, and we pay it over to the trading entity. Then we have the cash management agency. The source of revenue is 173 million rand. Then we have your exchange revenue, which is broken down into your TCTA, your CMAs, and the National Water Resource Infrastructure. And lastly, the construction revenue, which is 200 million. Then in the following page, we break down the revenue that we received in terms of the projects that need to be done. And we give the various figures for those projects. Slide 39 gives the capital infrastructure project. The breakdown, that's where you'll find the dam safety, your Namito project, the raising of Tanini Dam, the Mzimbubu, your Hazelmere Dam. We provide the, as well as the excess mine drainage. We just gave the breakdown in terms of the allocations that we have in this financial year. Also, I think I need to make mention, Chair, that in the last financial year, the water trading entity had a bank overdraft. And in terms of the arrangement with the Treasury, by end of next year, financial year, we need to have paid 748 million rand as part of that bank overdraft. So in end of June, we'll pay 200 million, and by end of March, 2018, we'll have paid 728 million. So there is an arrangement with the National Treasury in terms of how the entity will get out of the bank overdraft. And I think the last slide is giving the definitions of the various acronyms that we use in our presentation. Thank you very much.
I'm now a little bit scared because I made a mistake of not asking the DG to speak. I want to make sure that I maintain protocol, and I want to. I'm a bit scared now to speak. But Chair, I think you had a question around Bloomhof, which the DG promised to answer. I think
the
DG must answer that question
first. Yes, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think that it is true that Bluemotor is in dire financial straits because of non-payment by some of the municipalities. Whilst Naledi might be one of them, according to the meeting that I had with Bluemotor last week, the main problem, the challenge there is actually Mangaung Metro. Because Mangaung Metro owes that water board in the river over 300 million. Right? So, and they are not able to perform some of their functions. In fact, even the salaries are under threat because of the debt that is owed by Mangaung. And Chairperson, whilst we can see other small municipalities, the worrying factor is that Mangaung is supposed to be the metro, and it is supposed to have a healthy revenue stream, but they are not paying the water board. So we are in the process of engaging Mangaung in terms of the intergovernmental relations, because there are other ways through which we can go the legal route and so on. But the Bloom Water, and I was talking to the chairperson and the CEO, they are actually saying that they would want to now restrict water to the metro. Maybe that is the only way through which they can be able to respond. So that is the problem there, chairperson. And the other one, just on the Hoshang water scheme, you asked us to, because that project is nearing completion now, you asked us to who is going to operate it and so on. The project is of a regional nature, which means it cuts across. It's not just in one municipality. So there's Bushbuck Ridge Municipality and there's Mbombela. So it cuts across. But I think at the moment, that project is under rainwater, under rainwater board, and even the operation, we believe that the rainwater board should continue operating even after the completion, whilst we're trying to build capacity of the Bushbuck Ridge Municipality. We believe that on the side of Mbombela might have the requisite capacity. But the portion that would be under Bushbuck Ridge, because at the moment we do not have the capacity to operate, and hence rainwater would continue until enough capacity has been filled for the Bushbuck Ridge Municipality to operate. Yeah.
I just wanted to question the jurisdiction to add more on the question around the.
No, thank you very much, dear. We are having a serious problem with municipality, the non-payment of our services by municipalities. Municipalities in various provinces are owing in excess of over 3 billion rand. In the last financial year, we tried to work with Treasury. Unfortunately, they could not cut their allocation in terms of, so that they can pay us. And on our side, we cannot cut water to the municipalities. So we welcome if maybe at some stage we have a common sitting with COFTA in terms of resolving this matter. Because as they are not paying, and on our side we can't cut water services. So the debt is sort of escalating. As we speak, the entity is being owed in excess of 3 billion rand by different water boards, and water boards, they blame the municipalities. I'm thinking the case of sediment that owes us, or in the 3 billion, 2 billion comes from one water board. And the municipalities around Northwest where sediment is operating, most of them are not economically viable, and unfortunately we cannot cut water, but the debt is increasing, and there's not much we can do because we even tried National Treasury, but also they couldn't sort of provide a solution. So various interventions are being made, as the one that the DM mentioned in Oak Tambo. Even a city bank was met with them. The one that we're busy with now is Bloom Water. But even when they start paying, you'll find that in relation to what is being owed, is too little in terms of reducing the debt. So it is a serious problem, the issue of the non-payment by municipalities for the water, for the park water that we supply to.
I think I'm looking at the time. Maybe we should wait for the questions, because you said you want to be out here at 12 o'clock. It's now 11:20. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much, DM and the department, for the presentation. Mostly, most of the time you will have to struggle reading a financial report
other than a performance report, but with this department is the other way around. I don't know whether it's me, honorable members. It's abbreviation throughout the presentation. I was asking myself, in your absence here, if I have to write a report or do something using this presentation, can I be able to do that? Because this presentation, Miss Manyaganyaga, you really made a Nyaganyaga. That is on the lighter note. In fact, you get to know, get more information on the financial report, because they are able in a statement, a project, to link money to a project, which is not happening in your presentation. It's a very nice presentation, professional, but in terms of information, it always refers us to the APP. It's as good as if we did not come and get this presentation and read our APP, because that's what we've been doing throughout. Even if I did not speak of time, but you don't have this information here. This information is mostly referred to the APP, which in this meeting we cannot read. That is the purpose of a presentation. We want a shortened version of an APP. But I will allow members to speak on this, even though the CFO did not say whether you are bankrupt. We did say that you are not. But you don't qualify what you are saying. You just make one sweeping statement. You're not bankrupt. At the time of the newspaper, we had 2 billion in the bank and we were able to pay. But let me allow members to ask questions.
Thank you, Chairperson. I take into account the remarks of the Chairperson in terms of the use of the abbreviation. I'm not going to believe that it doesn't assist us. If there are too many abbreviations that aren't explained, then it becomes very difficult to follow what the department is talking about. Nonetheless, the good part of your presentation, in my own assessment, is that you have given us a fair view of the provincial perspective as to what is it that you are going to be allocated to the provinces which you are representing. That part of it, Brenda, I do want to comment on that. Some of the departments struggle to give us provincial perspective. Chairperson, having welcomed the remarks of the DM as well as the presentation, firstly, I would like to know if the department doesn't have financial problems, has the department been to scope for financial problems? Or in the first instance, has the department been to scope at all? If the department has been before scope, what were the reasons? Was it for the reasons related to the budget and the bankruptcy and the paper talk that you are talking about, or it was for other administrative issues that we did not touch upon? Secondly, before I forget, when I look at your project, CFO, towards the end of the slide, I see that you are talking about the project based on them, different them, but I didn't get anything about Brazil. What is happening about Brazil then in KZN? What progress are we making in ensuring that people of Texas, and particularly in the northern coast, are benefiting from Josephine? The other question is, the GM spoke about deviation from the mandate, the core mandate, by the department, and go and do things that are not really the mandate of the department, listening to the plea of the public out here that are crying for water. As to, I'm afraid those issues, Chairperson, are going to be picked up by the Auditor General, and I don't know if the department has prepared its defense in that regard, or whether you did seek permission from Treasury to deviate from the mandate
and attend to it. It is going to come back to you. Much as we are sympathetic that you are trying to assist, but did you get a mandate from Treasury to deviate from the mandate of the bank? You better clarify now. And then the other question, Chairperson, that I have is irregular expenditure. Not taking the loss protection and not forwarding reasons why you do that. Not following proper procurement procedures. Extension of contract without getting or following procedures or giving or validating your action in terms of why you do that without proper delegation. And awarding bids to bidders who do not qualify to be given a bid. Why are there such a big irregularities in the supply chain of the department? And what are you doing to ensure that that kind of action is not repeated? Another question, the supply of unreliable information for audit purposes. If I were to ask the department now, because when we stand there and debate, Chairperson, we must debate on factual information, not on information that you just hear here and there. How many houses have got water in the Republic of South Africa? Clean, usable water that they can be able to access. Is the department able to supply the information to the Auditor General in terms of audit performance? And we know exactly, as we sit here, how many houses have access to clean, usable water. I don't know whether it's blue drop or green drop, what I'm asking here is, how many people in the Republic are able to drink healthy and clean water in terms of the stats that you have? The bucket system in the informal areas. I don't know whether you've clarified your targets now. You had targeted 32,500 and you were only able to eradicate and achieve 1,830. And you are saying you're going to be attending to Northern Cape, Free State, and Western Cape. How many, in terms of units, numbers are you going to be able to eradicate this financial year? We have reduced your budget on program 3, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, regional bus infrastructure project, the budget has been reduced, isn't it? How are you going to reduce your target? How is that going to impact you or in the department being able to reach the target? The targets that you have set for yourself. And lastly, Chair, the budget for computers has been increased quite exponentially. Shall we please be informed as to what is the reason for that? And also the budget for consultants has increased from 36.3 million to 68.9. What is the reason for increasing the budget for consultants? Those are the questions that I have to answer.
Thank you very much, Honorable Hassan.
Thank you, Chair. From reports, we've learned that the department owed contractors at the end of the financial year 1.9 billion. Now, whether that was correct or not, I don't know. However, the response from the CFO that the department suddenly finds itself at the end of the financial year with contractors in multi-year projects have actually exceeded the expected work to be done. What I would like to know is how can the department if the department is in full control of itself, of the contracts, of the multi-billion round work that's being done, with monthly certificates for payments, find themselves in such a situation. It's not something that arrived on the department, the department's office on a certain morning on the 1st of April. It's something that builds up over a whole financial year. So there cannot be any surprises for the department, and arrangements must be made, either with the contractor or with Treasury. So I failed to understand how the department could have arrived at such a situation where suddenly they owe contractors 1.9 billion or thereabouts at the end of the financial year, and something that has to be carried over and obviously then comes off from the capital projects for the next financial year. Any one of those different categories, as was explained. Just would like to understand that. Secondly, mention was made about the overdraft of the water trading entity, and it was stated that some 200 million and I think 748 million will be paid to reduce the overdraft in this financial year. Now, that will address about one third or 30% approximately of the overdraft. I'd like to know where that money comes from. And then in another year's time, in the next financial year, another 1.9 billion, which can actually be more, must be paid to reduce the overdraft then to zero. I'd like to know where that money will come from. And then what was the impact of Treasury blocking payments from the water trading entity on the 1st of April until the date that an agreement was reached, how the payment will be paid. I would like to know whether the department will be able to meet the commitments, see that it's being done by paying at the end of this month 200 million and the other 748 million by the end of this financial year.
Thank you, Jefferson. My voice is a bit hoarse, so my apologies in advance for my voice. Honorable Chair, I don't know what's happening with this one. Honorable Chairperson, I would like to refer the members and the Department of Water and Sanitation, specifically to page 29, 30, and 32, on the direct grant, on the indirect grant, and looking from 29, page 29, page 30, and 32, you would see on the allocation per province. And I would like to you know the criteria that's been used in allocation of those funds, with the Western Cape in page 29 getting 17,985, page 32 getting 30,000, and page 30, 12,949. Millions rather. And just to say, what criteria has been used, because consistently, you see the Western Cape getting less millions. And I suppose this is an entity that is used across nine provinces. The desperation is unique, universal. It cannot be politicized one way or the other. Coming to the bucket eradication program. On the presentation I heard from Ms. Manyakanyaka, Uguti, it was in Kipai Nai bucket, our bucket. Inao, a Kailicha, Kotiar section, a Barcelona, a Kugletu, Inao, a Nyanga, a Freedom Square, Dingabala, Kutekyo, Tizazio Figa, Nekat, eladakisa koko ndibala because ikhona i-budget system of the Western Cape POF in all 9 provinces in informal health settlement. And I want to know with the 3 provinces that you've put up, Mamanyaganyaka, what criteria have you followed to allocate only Gwes or Northwest and Northern Cape and Eastern Cape, prioritizing them and not putting Western Cape on the list as if a court desperation. The need is one, the usage is one. If it brings dignity in Northern Cape and Eastern Cape, it can also bring dignity in the Western Cape. Chairperson has also touched on irregular expenditure. The fruitless expenditure, I want to know the outline details. How much has been fruitless expenditure from your department side? Probably this one would be more to the DM. DM, the drought in the Western Cape. It's the same drought that was experienced by Gauteng province, where we saw the minister's intervention, even to an extent of going, because this has been a desperation, to Ubabumboro. Probably we also would have loved to see a Western Cape Ubabumboro if the need was the same and treated the same and not politicized. Because Indo Yamanzi cannot be politicized. You need Yom Duong, he basic need in Wanagogwe, Nangogo, such in two constitution in Uba. Kaufuna Manzi, Unaniwe, Elimbombo, Yafuna as a Western Cape. Kaufuna, who's gone by? In the recent fires of Elaina, where there has been so much desperation and death, abantu bebefuna amanzi ngelixesha singena ezindaweni because njengoba bekuba kwi-smoke, the only nto ebikusindisa kukuba uthi nkqu ilapha emanzini kwi-smoke ebesisitsho ngumlilo. Uthi ungena apha ubunelaphi lakho umane uphefumlela kulo. That's how important amanzi are. Even to an extent, some of the helicopters you would have noticed were even drawing salt water from the sea to try and combat the fire in Eisner in the past days. So in order for us to be announced by the national disaster, we cannot do it per province as per premier only, because this is a national competence. We needed a word from this department, from the minister, to declare Western Cape as a national disaster, not from the provincial perspective. So, touching on municipal debts, I just want to say, can we have specific time frames? I know there's a plan that's been put in place for 2 million per month, but when do we expect ultimately the last balance being paid off? So that's why I said, much have you have touched on this municipal debt. Can we have the time frames? When are you going to be paying the last balance and getting things clear? Because the phrase that is so much desperation with a recent eradication, recent pre-visit of taking parliament to the people. We also were told that Ekopanong district in the newly built hospital, in part of it not being opened yet, is the fact that there needs to be built a reservoir. Kulo kulo kwesibhedlela sichasihle siyasakhiweyo phayana. What are your collaborative plans together with the Department of Health in getting that done, so that you can see that hospital in operation? It's a beautiful hospital that's been built there, but the only problem in Gavula, we land up by amanzi in Gekoyo, and it cannot operate without amanzi. Deputy Minister, I've heard with the recent doubt, efforts then, which were quite good in terms of how to save water. I think we need to do that before the volcanic eruption. Far before, in terms of radios, in terms of local newspapers in Sphikaku Township, in the language that is understood by the people. Ukuba sithetha nge-City Vision, ukuba sithetha ezi local newspapers ezibhalwa ngesiXhosa, ukuba siXhosa ezibhalwa ngesiSuthu, but how to save water in their own language so that not only when there's drought and then start saying let's save water, because immense seyenzekile, nyaka seyifikile mesimanyakanya. Tsamile Hlalo.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Deputy Minister, Pichi, and the Water and Sanitation Team colleagues, thanks for your presentation. I want to start by echoing the sentiments of our chairperson. That it looks like the department did not want us to understand what's going on. The information is so hidden in these documents, which makes it very difficult for one to understand what's going on. And secondly, I also want to go to the issue of the accruals. While colleagues have asked similar questions, I want to find out how does it happen that, because my understanding, Chairperson, is that the accruals spill over two financial years, 15-16 and 16-17. Now, how does it happen that you don't pay the people you owe for the whole financial year? You close the financial year, you go on to the next financial year, you do the same practice, you don't pay the people you owe, if that can be clarified. Because my understanding is that that 1.5 billion is not the accruals of just one financial year, it's two financial years. The other issue that was asked by the chairperson in respect of the project we visited, it's Sedibeng Water Board and the two municipalities there. Now the DG is saying their belief is that Sedibeng should conduct the operations while the department is beefing up capacity. It's a roundabout, yes. Well, while the department is beefing up capacity. So, Chairperson, I am really confused. How does the department do their plan? How do you go to start a project and you don't know who is going to operate? You have a belief. You come to us here, you tell us you have a belief that so and so should do this. When you started, what was the belief? Because it's like the belief is not in the plans. Very, very poor planning, Chairperson. My last one is in respect of the municipalities that we have just visited in the Free State, where again there is a problem of water, and the department is saying municipalities are not paying the water boards, and as a result the water boards are struggling. What is the policy? What is the policy? Who is Water Services Authority? Who is Water Services Provider? Who is supposed to be collecting the rates, water rates from the people, water tariffs from the people? Because the problem is at the beginning, the end user is not paying the municipality, and the municipality is not paying whoever is providing the municipality. What is the policy? And how is the department assisting so that municipalities are able to collect at least from those users who are able to pay, so that it is not just a free-for-all even to the people who have the capacity to pay? Because that is what the problem is. For as long, Chairperson, as the department is not sorting out the issue of collections from the people who have the capacity to pay. This problem is endless in South Africa. And this department here is not doing their work, because that is where they should be focusing. And they are not doing that. They must tell us, when are they going to start doing what they should be doing? Capacitating municipalities so that people who have the capacity to pay are able to pay and are paid. Right now in South Africa, it's a free-for-all. It's a free-for-a-kahuna who is employed by parliament, can be able to pay. And it's a free-for-a-dlamini who is unemployed and is unable to pay. We are the same. And the department is doing nothing. As a result, municipalities are not paid. That is where the problem is. When are we going to attend to that crux of the matter, which is the real issue of the problem? Chairperson, thank you.
Because when we ask
questions as members. Or when we give a department to, or when we ask members or call a department, take note that we are not blank. The committee has got researchers. Besides that, we are from our provinces. We know what is happening in our provinces. We have researchers. When we ask a question, we have some knowledge about the thing that we are asking. I'm saying this because of the responses. I made a comment that I would want to hear you talking about matters of emphasis from the Auditor General. You decided to select one thing of the ACOAS. You left the most important issues that were raised by the Auditor General, which is one touch most of them and other members. It tells you that we know what are the issues that were raised by the Auditor General. What we want from you, what are you doing to deal with these issues? It will be no use for us to sit here, support the budget, knowing very well that if there is no plan, same irregular, fruitless expenditure is going to happen again. We want to satisfy ourselves. Let me say, remember, I'm saying where I'm sitting, really, if we had time, and also about the number of questions that are not clearly explained. For example, the water trading entity. You have a department. You have the water trading entity. You have water boards. You have district councils. You have local municipalities. But in each and every three protests that are taking place, one of them is about water. The question I have, why are all these people doing? Why are all these people, starting from the department, why do we have so much issues about water from the community? I know the community cannot just wake up and protest and close the road, don't go to school, and they don't go to work. One would really wanted to know why there are so many protests, yet there are so many entities or people responsible for the provision of water, whether you're talking bulk or you're talking regulation. For us, when you said you have supplied water, when it's when you open a tap and communities are getting water. That is the most important thing for us as members. What is the meaning of overdraft? You said, oh, how much was the overdraft, therefore? 2.6 billion. My goodness, I was even reducing it. What is an overdraft? It's to taking money that you have, you don't have. It's using money that. The overdraft as a bank is when you withdraw money, more money than the money that you have. Mm-hmm. Is it the same thing, the same understanding that I hear about the entity? If that is what was done by the water trading entity, is it not bankruptcy? What is bankruptcy? Maybe I don't know these things. Because really, 2.6 billion, and the department is not aware or is allowing it to happen, because this entity is within the department. It's not like water board. It is in the department. Our members, I am tempted to say, let's, if members allow me, we'll support this to pass, but I would want to see ourselves. I heard the department say we need to call COGTA and the water boards. Maybe SALGA, the department in one meeting. In addition to that, my when you come to that meeting, give us a review. Is it not time to do an assessment whether we need these water boards or not?
are they adding there? Once I had a meeting with water boards, if you remember, are they viable? Because if you go to municipalities that people are not paying, where do we expect municipalities to expect to get money to pay the water bills? Is it a viable option? Other than giving this money directly to or district or municipality themselves. I'm not saying it must happen like that. That is a question we asked that in that meeting we had and is not responded to. Because if I make honest with you, all water boards are being owed by municipalities. The last time I heard about Bushbuck Ridge was owing Iran Water about 400 million at the time. I don't know how much they are owing now. Is it a viable option? If it's yes, how to improve? Because in that meeting we even said, this charging, is it working? I don't know. We also raised a question that why only these few water boards are given money and others are not given money? How are they going to operate? Because these are the water boards linked to the department. Why choose the only few to support money? We ask, how are they going to operate? You are saying, DG, I don't think that I'm with you. I'm representing Komana. I don't think I want to agree that Iran Water should be responsible for the operation. The district, it has got capacity. Imbombela has capacity. Why do you choose to grow its capacity? I'm not saying don't grow capacity to push back bridge. Why don't you use the ready available institution to run that thing? You said yourself it's a regional of nature. There's a district council there, very capable, isn't it? For the past 7 years it has been getting clean audits. Why not use it while building the capacity? Why rent water? We are seeing among our own now, a free state, the implications of using our water boards. When municipalities are not paying, they cut services. Why do you want to go to the same option in Mpumalanga, which is failing in the other province? I would not want to agree, but it's up to you. But as a person representing Mpumalanga, I would not want to agree. I would want you to be in one meeting, all of you agree who's going to be responsible for that, but not imposing rent water. We don't want to see the system as a free state. When asked about a free state, the response that you said you met with Iplom Water. Instead of talking about the district that we are giving you, we are talking about Mangao. I don't know why you chose to do that, DJ. Because we asked you about a specific district, Harebu. Is it Harebu? We spoke about that one. And you agree the Iplom Water is under severe financial constraint. To me, it says no, they are right with Bakas Elements because they're not paid. It's not right for us if people don't get water. Hospitals did not have water. They were giving, women are giving birth there, they did not have water to use in a hospital. Yes, because Iplom Water is being owed by the municipality. No. Yes, there is a lot of money that is put on water by government. I don't think that is acceptable. When we go there, DJ, who the actual taking parliament to the people, we expect you to give us answers. How are you going to? How are you resolving the matter? Just a flow mode. The issue. This water trading entity. What exactly are they doing? I don't know. Maybe you will have to relook at the water trading entity, the value added, which is being added, value added of this entity in the department, over and above the team of officials that you have
the regional offices, because over and above the national, we have regional offices in all provinces. But you still have this water trading entity which has done the overdraft over 2 billion. Where did you lose the information in my bucket, their education, my bucket in all the provinces? I agree with Honorable Pambo Spokwane. If we can go back to our documents, when a presentation was done about my bucket in the country, Western Cape was one of the provinces that had my bucket. I see Mpumalanga also is not, nothing is said about Mpumalanga. We had buckets. We want to hear that, okay, in Mpumalanga we have eradicated buckets. That is why now it's not part of the provinces that are not going to eradicate my buckets. So I'm not sure, DJ, because you are not writing, how you're going to respond on these issues. Maybe you are not like me. Me, I forget a lot. When people talk, I forget, but maybe you are able to remember all those things. War on leaks or technology, war on leaks, DSDM, how far away is that project? All members, I am of the view that we need to invite this water trading entity together with the Treasury, and also national and auditor general, and also on the finances of the department. That's why I'm saying, because of time, will allow this process to go through if members agree with me. But a follow-up meeting, especially on this entity, and also with the water board and COGTA, those two meetings I think are required. Firstly, to look at the finances of the department and this entity, but the other meeting to look at the boards and the local municipalities. DG, can I, DM and also DG, can I give you to respond on these issues? I know we've passed our target time, but these matters are important to be responded to.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So, Chairperson, I will answer those that were directed to me. And the first one was, why are we politicizing water? What are we doing in the Western Cape? Chair, there is a lot that we are doing in the Western Cape. And week before last, I was in Pito Municipality. I was sitting with the mayor there, with the students. We had a good intervention with the students and the mayor and the councillors. We have students there. Which Chair touched on their progress, which is war on leaks. The war on leaks, Chair, is we divided this program into three phases. We started in 2015 and we took 3,000, and then last year we took 7,000. We divided into three because there is no capacity to take 15,000 students at a go. They are trained on water agents, plumbing, and artisans. And we had a good intervention with Bito Municipality because he was there himself saying he's going to assist in absorbing some of the students to the municipality. The other interventions, which I know is recently, there might be others, Chair, but I could bring the information. I know we had a good water Indaba with the Premier Zille here in the Western Cape. It was not, I think it was 3 weeks ago or a month ago. We had a good interventions with Premier, and then they were with the minister, was also there. I was part of that water in Daba, which was looking at the interventions of the Western Cape. Yeah, I'll make sure that I get this information concerning Western Cape. Otherwise, Western Cape, who are in good relationship with the mayor, with also the mayors, and also Premier Helen Zille. What they're looking at now, if it's going to be possible, is the desalination, which we are still discussing whether it's not expensive or expensive, but we have an experience in Richards Bay where they did desalination because of the drought, which cost them about 300 million, which we think is not too much. And it is now giving out water to 200 households, 200 something. I can't remember, thousands. I'll get the numbers. It's not right to talk about numbers that you're sure of, but it's giving out too much of how households that are getting water. So, how far are we with the war on leaks, Chen? War on leaks, we are left now with 5,000, which is supposed to be taking them this year, that is 2017. We are still struggling. We're working with the municipalities because we must get the right target from municipalities. We have good relationship with municipalities. There was a question, I'll target those chair that are more of politicians than technical. I have technical team there here to answer all the finances. But the last one was Umzimbubu, just to say, most projects share, and were not started by us. We found projects that were there, and our intention is to make sure that those projects are finished. They are done. We don't start new projects before we finish the projects that we found in the department. And I do want to say again, Chair, that I'll be very happy, Chair, if you again talk about or have this meeting of the municipality and ourselves. Because I hear the member there, he's not here now. He was saying, what are we doing about municipalities in capacitating them? It is not our responsibility to capacitate municipalities. We have a minister there called Van Rooyen. It's his responsibility to capacitate municipalities. In fact, the reason why we're struggling, it is because most municipalities are not capacitated. So I'll be very, very happy to, if we can get that kind of interventions by this committee. I think most questions, deviations from the budget, the Jozini Dam, extension of contracts, audit performance, and then the budget target, I think my Kenyaga should have that information of the budget eradication. And then lastly, Chair, on my side, I do want to say, Chair, the most was which the member was right to say we must use the language in terms of educating our communities, the language that they understand. The intention, Chair, all those students that are being trained now are going to do door-to-door besides the campaigns that we do. But those students, especially the water agents, are going to do door-to-door in their languages and telling people to conserve water. So we are beginning to make sure that we use the languages, which is understandable by their communities. Like you find in other communities, they speak Afrikaans. We'll have students that are speaking Afrikaans and all languages. In all these provinces, we have this kind of students that are taught to do door-to-door so that they assist the departments, all departments, in speaking the language that is understood by their communities. I will now hand over to the DG to tell us about other things.
Thanks. I think that maybe the issue about the rainwater and the district in Mpumalanga, I think that the rainwater in this particular case was appointed as the implementing agent for the project. So the project was run by the department. So they then looked at the capacity of the rainwater and then they appointed the now, the main issue is also your concern. When the project is done, because it must be handed over to the municipality. Now, because it cuts across, there's the Mpumalanga part, there's the Bushbuck part, final vote. So if the district has the capacity, indeed, because when the project is done, it has to be handed over. But once you hand it over to whoever that, if you can do the district, then the district must also have the capacity financially and otherwise to maintain. Because what has been the problem so far is that you hand over the project and then maintenance does not happen. And then it decays again, and they say, no, but it's a national project. So if a Tanzania has the capacity in terms of their budget, in their IDPs and so on, to then maintain that project, I don't think there will be a problem there. The other thing, just this water trading entity, the department runs two accounts. So because I had, okay, if the water trading entity ran an overdraft of 2.6 billion, isn't that bankruptcy and so on? Now, on the water trading side, which is the one account of the entity, it runs as an entity, and it operates almost differently from the other, the mainstream department, because it's treated as an entity. So now they did an over, they did their budget in such a way that they ran into an overdraft. And now, I think one member talked about the bank and so on. So if you have an overdraft, once you, or the overdraft was given by the bank. Now here, the trading entity was getting money from the Paymaster general account. So now in that, and that is run by Treasury. So Treasury should have put a system in place so that if the entity is not allowed to run an overdraft, then they should not have been allowed. So for some reason, they allowed it, and then it went up to those amounts. So it should not have been allowed. So the system should have, right at Treasury, not have allowed it. Because obviously, then there was a problem in the entity itself, and then they went over. Now, in terms of whether we need the entity in the department and how it, there's a process of just looking at the whole department and all the structures that are in it. So we are basically restructuring, and that would help us to say, okay, what should be the status of the entity? What should be the status of the construction unit? Because there's a construction unit within the department as well. You know, how do those relate to? Because there's also the TCTA, which is a fully fledged agency that runs with our mega project and so on. So there's that process of restructuring that is taking. I think the DM has spoken about COGTAS, because most of the time there's confusion between us and people confuse the role of these two departments, because the municipalities as water services authority, they are under COGTAS. So COGTAS has to deal with any the capacity issues of the municipality. If they are not able to pay and so on, what do they do and so on. So it's really not, as the GM said, it's not the purpose of our, but in an intergovernmental relations arrangement, we can be part of that. But I think there was mention also that the department has done lots of projects which are municipal in nature, a whole lot of them. I mean, essentially, even the bucket eradication project should be done within the, because the buckets are there. We deal with dams and canals and so on. But the department was assisting, even with the boreholes during the drought and so on. But that was really not the departmental case. But they went in there, were spending and so on. But we're saying going forward, we have an intergovernmental relations. If there's a crisis in the municipalities, there are certain departments that are involved. If the drought, like culture as well, so how do we approach this? So it shouldn't be one department using its money, and then when you come back, then say, no, but it's not even in the APP and so on. So I think going forward, that is the strategy that we are going to adopt. I think on talking about the DM said, we have done so far a lot in the Western Cape. I don't think there was politicization as such, because if you look at the where this thing starts, the province had to declare that, okay, this drought has reached a disaster level. They should declare first that there's a provincial or there's a local disaster. So I think they took time. They know they are not going to declare this thing as a disaster. So as you know, once you declare as a disaster, then resources even from national start flowing in. So in the Western Cape, I think the government took time to declare that situation as a disaster. But I think ultimately they did that. But we have a project on the sea water through dams, because that is the largest dam, but it's the most dry. So we have a project of the fuel play dam augmentation, where we'll be transferring the water from this dam to augment the sea water through a dam. Issues of desalination and the probable boreholes, so the Table Mountain aquifer, to get the two boreholes there to augment the water situation. So there are projects that we have embarked upon in collaboration with the Western Cape province. So I think the other financial matters that would allow the CFO to come.
Thank you very much, DC. I'll touch on the NTC overdraft. The issue of the non-payment by municipalities had a ripple effect on the entity. Because revenue, the entity's budget is based on their forecast of the revenue that they collect. In that financial year, they were owed over 3 billion rand. And they had already allocated projects for the anticipated revenue for municipality. Since they could not collect, since municipality could not pay them, then they had a shortfall of these 2.6 billion. That's how the issue of the overdraft arose on the entity side. The issue of the big projects, like the Umzimvubu project, the work is underway in Umzimvubu. We have two schemes there, the Ntabelanga Dam and the Lalini Dam. The designs for the Ntabelanga are complete. And with the other scheme, detailed designs at about 90% complete. And in this financial year, we have earmarked to start the work there in the area, looking at the site clearance, the access roads, and so forth. The work will commence in this financial year. We have allocated money for that project. Jozini Dam as well, work will be carried out in this financial year with an allocation of start the work there of about 120 million rand in this financial year, and the work will be done in this financial year as well. Regarding our appearance at SCOPA, we appeared in SCOPA for the 15-16 financial year, the year where we had the unqualified audit, and there were two issues that we went to SCOPA about, the issue of the irregular expenditure, as well as the issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So we went there, and yes, there were issues around our irregular, that it was sort of high, and what measures that we put in place to reduce our irregular and fruitless expenditure. I can confirm that indeed we have put measures in place. We have increased our capacity in terms of financial management capacity to make sure that we reduce our irregular expenditure. But in a nutshell, there were two main projects that contributed to the bulk of our irregular expenditure. The first one, we had the issue of the IT project that was concluded about 3 years ago, where the department advertised, did all the procurement processes, but there was only one leg where they could not agree with CETA, and the project was not advertised on CETA website. And the AG declared that it's irregular expenditure. The other one that is still under consultation with the AG is the issue of the Giani project. Unfortunately, there's a huge expenditure of about 1.3 billion. We're still in consultation with the AG in terms of how they view this as irregular. There are various investigations that are underway. In our view, At the time, it was an emergency project. There were serious issues in the area. We went to the area, we did assessment, and it was of an emergency nature at the time. But the AG is of a different view, looking at the time period that we have spent in the area. So we are still of the view that the project is not irregular. And we have put systems in place to prevent irregular expenditure going forward. The issue of fruitless expenditure for the current year, I think we had about 14 wasteful and fruitless expenditure, about 14 million rand. And we are recovering, because once the fruitless and wasteful expenditure is identified, we give to our internal control unit, they do the investigation. And for officials, we recover that money. As you see in our revenue coming in, it has sort of increased. Mainly fruitless is like for officials when they miss their flights or they do not attend courses that have been earmarked. Then we have those fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In the last financial year, we had a case that was with the state attorney. It stayed there for long. Unfortunately, we had to pay interest or penalties in that case. Hence, we incurred the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The deviations from the core mandate in the last financial year were the issue of the draft. We went to Treasury, we wrote to Treasury raising the issue. Unfortunately, we were told that there's no new money. And they wrote back to us, they said the department must reprioritize within its budget. So we had to reprioritize, identify the slow moving projects in order to fund the issues of drought. Like we did water tankering in certain areas, and that resulted in irregular expenditure. The issue of the contracts that were completed earlier, Chair, I think we, as a department, we do admit that there was sort of some lapses in terms of our project management, as well as project financing in terms of how we run our projects. We have since put systems in place, like the issue of the program project management unit or program management unit that would manage our project and ensure that contractors move at the same pace as what we had in the fiscals. There were no serious lapses in terms of project management, and we have identified a gap in terms of making sure that we close that gap so that the projects don't overlap or projects are not completed and we don't find ourselves in a position where we can't pay at a time. Thank you. I'll allow my colleagues to add on other issues. But in terms of the issues of the matter of emphasis that were raised by the AG, Chairperson, from last financial year, I'm of the view that now we have put systems in place, we have improved our internal control environment in terms of our capacity with people with financial management skills, and I think going forward we'll limit the issues that were raised in the past. We have run training in our regional offices. We have financial people in those regional offices. And we are monitoring the situation as we move along the financial year. And I'm of the view that issues that were raised previously that are financial related won't be raised in the future.
Chair, I think that the last one, Chair, is the issue of budget eradication.
Thanks, DM. Yes. On the bacteria eradication, the program that the department was implementing was only focusing on formal areas, not informal areas. And there was a finite number of over 52,000 that had to be eradicated during the country within a particular period. So it wasn't necessarily looking at other areas like your culture and them. However, the department did a pilot within culture on, I just want to quote it properly. It's called communal ablution facilities in two areas within the culture area. And then the department decided for that function of bucket eradication in a formal setting is actually a human settlement function, and they've got resources to actually eradicate that. So that's probably why there's some misunderstanding, or we lost each other in that translation. Thanks.
Mr. Chairman, this is a water and the number, you did not give us the number, but the percent number. Yeah, thanks. Okay, thank you, GM. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member. I'm responding to the issue on access to water. We have, you will see from the SSA General Households Report that 89.4% of there's 89.4% access to piped water. But then we are using households. So according to our figures, we have 10.3 million households with water or access to water. We are working towards 15.5 by 2019. But what we are also doing currently...
Manuel, can I allow you to get a figure? Because just the first number that you have given, we are about 51 million in the country. And you are saying 10 point something has access to water. I want to allow you space to go and get the right number. That number is not correct. It is not correct because you said the statistics from SSA is talking to households. Now you were coming to the number of people. It's supposed to be far more because in one household there's more than one person. So I'm saying to you, I want to allow you time. I'll say other things that I would want you to add in the report that will come back to us before we go to the house on the 22nd. Yeah, but I want to give you time to get the right numbers. The 10 point something million, no, it's not a correct one. You want to contest what I'm saying?
I'm not contesting. I'm just explaining what.
I was saying that SSA uses percentage. We are using households. That's what I was trying to explain.
Given that, unfortunately, I'm from Mbombela. In Mbombela, by the time I left in Mbombela, it has 174,000 households. So I don't know in South Africa if we have 10 million households, I'm not sure. But I think it suffices that, can I give you time? Time to go and give us. They were right to say when we debate, there are so many people watching us. We don't want to give wrong information. We must, especially once we touch number, we must be precise on numbers. That's why I want to give you time to give us right figures. One of your hand was up.
No. Maybe the manner in which you concluded the issue is enough, because I just wanted to verify if 89.4% as per death as it translates to 10 million households, not people households. But let us leave it to the date, Chairperson, that you're proposing as to be very sure of the numbers that we actually stand in the podium and give South Africans who don't want to tell lies.
Thank you. Thank you very much, DM. And the team, I really want to conclude one now, half past 12. We had planned to finish at 12. Thank you very much. I want to conclude by saying, all of members, the issue of bucket eradication, Ms. Manyalanya. Did you say Manyalanya? Yeah. No, we know, we're quite clear as a committee what we're talking about. We know we're not talking about informal. We're talking about formal. The statistics she knows, we're with her when we go around, when we did this monitoring, when we went to, was it Free State? these buckets. We had the number of all provinces with bucket, a bucket system. I'm from Mpumalanga. I know Mpumalanga. I even know the areas where there were bucket system. It was part of the list that you gave us, that these are the provinces with bucket system. So what we want from you is information that you must give us when you, before we go to debate, we need that information. Tell us how many buckets were in this province, how many eradicated, how many outstanding. If Mpumalanga has eradicated everything, say so. So Mpumalanga should not just disappear without knowing whether they were eradicated or not. Same thing with Western Cape. In Western Cape, I think it was 22,000, if I'm not mistaken, in that list we had. But in Western Cape had AMA buckets. It's a list that we got from you. We did not sample that list. It came from the department. We were given a list. That is why we're able to go and do the oversight on the implementation. Because in that list, it was, I'm not sure whether you're listening to me because we're busy, we're all meeting them. In that list, it will also say areas. Where are those buckets? So we need that information so that when we talk, we are able to say the department has been able to do this, but there is this still outstanding. You must remember, this meeting is not about us policing you. It's about also supporting you. I'm not saying we're going to get money for you, but I'm happy that you are not raising any financial concern. But it's also about helping you in achieving what you want to achieve. The other issue, I want you to confirm to me that, is it true that Western Cape does not have a moral evidence? Is it true? Because I heard the member contest. You remember, it's not political when she raised issues on the Western Cape. She's representing Western Cape. It's not political when I raise my issues on Mpumalanga. I'm representing Mpumalanga here. So take these issues that we are raising serious because we are a member representing our provinces. Can you confirm to us, not today, in that write-up that you're going to send us, that Western Cape is not does not have AMA rural areas? So we need that to be clarified. CFO, the issue of this utility that don't justify something that is wrong. The more you explain for me, the more it becomes worse. Because you are saying what resulted to the overdraft of 2.something, it's because the entity by the time was already owed 3 billion. And they had projects with an understanding that they will be paid by the municipalities. Any normal person will not commit money to a person. I can't say to myself, okay, I'll still do you a project, knowing very well that he owes me already. They already owed 3 billion, but the entity proceeded with the project, knowing very well that it is owed. So I want to conclude by saying you'll provide us with that information, strengthen this part, the performance report, to assist us as members. What you were saying, you must go and look at the APP, Ms. Mayalaya. Upgrade this document. Get that information, be part of your charts here as you have them. Here's a good document, and I agree with members that it speaks to us because we are representing provinces. But just strengthen that information. Where you have abbreviated, just put it in full so that it will be user-friendly. All members, I think that is how we have to conclude the meeting. I want to request members that we consider this report of the select committee so that we are done with the department. The report of the select committee on social services on the budget vote and annual performance plan 2017-18 of the Department of Water and Sanitation budget vote number 36, dated 13 June 2017. The select committee on social services, having considered budget vote 36 and annual performance plan 2017-18 of the Department of Water and Sanitation, reports that the committee has concluded its
liberation thereof. But with the understanding that we're going to get that information before we go to the debate, as agreed. But we also know that there are other outstanding meetings that we agreed upon, two meetings. One, to look at your finances and the entity. The other meeting with Proctor and yourself and the water board. Can I have your support, honorable members of the report? Honorable Zwane, honorable Summer, I support the report. So we take it, we're done with the department based on the wide waiting the other reports and the